Amen. You know, it has been said it's not how you start, but how you finish that really counts. And how true that is. Finishing well is a biblical truth. We saw that whenever Paul was writing to young Timothy, when he could say, I have run the race, I have finished my course, and there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day. I have finished. That's what he said. Paul says, I have run my race, and I have finished. And you really could say there, I have finished well. So it's not how you start that counts, it's how you're going to finish. Finishing well is a scriptural truth. Sadly, it's overlooked by many aging and even young believers. Rather than being steadfast and unmovable in the work of the Lord, some slacken their pace, some throw the towel in, some perhaps quit, resign, some move on to their comfort zone and other pursuits before the death comes or the Lord returns. Rather than being steadfast in the work of God, some actually do take their hand from off the plough of service. I wouldn't like to think for one moment that if I was to retire from ministry, that I would take my hand off the plough of service. I would want to be retired, T-Y-R-E-D. That is, to go on again, albeit another direction, and to keep serving the Lord until the Lord calls me home, until I'm physically infirmed and can no longer do much for the Lord. However, this is not the case with Joshua. Even in his old age, he is being pushed on by the Lord to further service. Thou art old and stricken in years. There remaineth much land still to be possessed. Now therefore, divide the land. Therefore, Joshua, get up. Do this for me. Take on this role of administrator. You've been fighting my battles for years. Joshua now is around, we believe, 85 to 90 years of age. He lived, according to chapter 24 of this book, to the ripe old age of 110. So at this point in his life, at this juncture in the history of Joshua, he's around 90 years of age. He has only about 20 years left to go. And so it doesn't mean he's decrepit. It doesn't mean he's so physically infirm that he's blind and he's deaf and he can't walk. That's not what this verse means. But when you look at it, you would think he's old and he's stricken with age. It's got a grip of him. It's telling a tale in his life. That's not the case at all. In fact, Caleb in chapter 14, he was 80 years of age and he said these words, I am as strong now as I was when I went in to spy the land over 40 years ago. I'm as strong now as I was then in his 80th year, coming into his 80th year. While I know his warring days are basically over, yet Joshua has a different role to fulfill. God has a different work for him to do. He can't just do the things he would want to, but God still has a work for him to do. I don't think for one moment that our seniors have nothing more to do. They have a work to do. He may be retired from the battlefield, but not for the field of service for Christ. The Lord still has a work for his servant to do, and only when that work is finished will the Lord call Joshua home. And we know that Joshua, after this a challenge and stirring word from God, he lived for another 20 years and he served the Lord right up to the very day of his death at age 110. And those chapters 13 through 24 record for us the new role and the field of service God called Joshua to when he was 90 years of age. Can I tell you something? There was another man in Scripture who was 90 years of age, and he still was standing strong for God, and that was Daniel. Daniel, they reckon, was 90 years of age when he refused to close his windows toward Jerusalem. And three times in the day, contradicting the very command of the king, he opened his windows toward Jerusalem. That's what he was doing in Babylon. Right toward the temple, to the sacrifice, and he worshipped God with his windows open toward Jerusalem. And he was commanded by the king at the behest of evil men that if anyone prayed except they petitioned the king, a man, and any other god, they must be put to death. And that's what happened. And Daniel took his stand at 90 years of age for the Lord. And he opened his windows in defiance of the king's command. And he broke the law of the land in order to honor God. And they took him at 90 years of age. And they cast him. It wasn't they opened a gate. They cast him down into a pit. At 90 years of age, you would imagine every bone in his body should have been broken, but it wasn't. He was preserved by God. That's why. And the little children's stories where the wee lions are there with a happy face and Daniel's sitting either feeding them or having a little feed himself are nonsense. These were wild beasts. They were never fed except when someone transgressed. And they fed on human beings as they were literally cast into that pit. And at 90 years of age, he was still standing strong and still praying and still worshipping and still taking a stand for God and still defying the enemy and honoring the Lord. And even though they cast him into that den of lions, God preserved him and they took him out and Daniel lived as a living testimony to the power of God. And the entire nation of Babylon realized that there's no God but Daniel's God. What a testimony. I want to tell you, this chapter reminds us you're neither too young nor too old to serve the Lord. You're not too old to do something now for God. Don't think your days are over and there's nothing more you can do. There is. There's still a service and a work for you to do. There's no doubt Joshua is in senior years. We know that. He was coming to the end of his days on earth. But the Lord had not finished with his servant. And he still had a work for him to do. And that's what we see here in chapters 13 through to 24. Until the Lord called him home. The work that he had to do as an aged believer. In order to consider these final years in the life of Joshua, I want you to think of the following. I want you to think of the age of Joshua. Now that's important. I want you to think of the age he was. And then I want you to think of the assurance of help he was given. So the age of Joshua and the assurance of help he was given. Firstly then, the age of Joshua. Verse 1, thou art old and stricken in years. And then the Lord comes by and says, Joshua, you're getting old and you're stricken in years. Now the meaning is here is not that he was aged and infirmed, that he could no longer walk. You could imagine someone in a nursing home perhaps, someone maybe even in a residential home. You can imagine someone who perhaps is getting on in years and they're no longer able to walk. They're no longer able to do things for themselves, and it may be they're not able to feed themselves, they're not able to move. But I want to tell you that's not what is meant here. What the Lord was doing, he was reminding Joshua that you're aging. That's what he was reminding him. He was aging, he was getting older. And no one likes to think about growing old. We don't like to think about it. And I maybe told you this before, I'm not sure. And this is a fact, I'm telling you a true story here. I looked at my father. And my father, when he was 33 years of age, he looked like an old man at times. Because of drink and because of sin, when he got to 40 years of age, I tell you the truth, I thought he was ancient. And that's how young people view you when you're 40. They think you're ancient. In fact, my boy said to my wife, what was it like to live in the olden days? She was mortified. I had a queer laugh at that, for she's younger than me. But they were serious. Did you have an outside toilet, Mum? What was her answer to that? Of course it did. Did you write on a slate, Mum, when you're at school? No, I didn't. I'm not that old. Let's be honest. Nobody likes to be reminded that you're coming a certain age. When I reached 59, I want to tell you, I did not like to think about me becoming 60. That's the first time in my life I was actually, well, the second time in my life I was concerned about my age. I didn't want any big party. Sorry about that, I should have had one, but I didn't. I didn't want any fuss. I wanted it to pass under the radar. It's hard to come to terms that you're moving Because I remember when I was young, my dad was 40 years of age. And I asked myself as a young person, and I was concerned. It was a genuine concern. I said, what would I look like when I'm 40? Now imagine, when you wish you were 40 again, what will I look like when I'm 40? And I was worried. And when I became 40, and I looked in the mirror, I had every reason to be worried. Every reason. But now we're moving on. It doesn't mean that you're so old you can do nothing for the Lord. It means you're aging. Joshua, the years are rolling on. Come on, get up, get to work. That's what the Lord's doing here. That's how this is to be interpreted. In other words, the word stricken simply means to be advanced in your age. That's all it means. It's what is known as a repetitious phrase. Thou art old and stricken in years, and the Lord said, thou art old and stricken in years, to emphasize to Joshua that he was growing old and he had not many years left to do the work of God, and that he needed now to finish what he started. And he was not to sit back. He was not to try and get himself a comfort zone. I want to tell you, he was still to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The highlighting of Joshua's advancing age was to inspire him, was to motivate him, was to stir him up to a greater service, to finish well. It's not how you start. There are many young people and they're saved when they're 3 and they're 4 years of age, and they get into teenage years and they do nothing for God. That's a fact. They do absolutely nothing for God. And they never get to meetings. They never get to prayer meetings. They never do any outreach. And it seems that it's difficult to even get them to do a quiet time. It's difficult to get them out to meetings. And yet they profess faith in their children's days and those younger days. And it seems they never go on with God. And they've got this ticket to heaven. And that's all they're happy with. This ticket to glory. I want to tell you something. There's more to the Christian life than a profession of faith. It's a Christian life. It's a life given over to Christ. It's not your life. It's his. And we're all getting older. You don't know how long you have to live. You don't know. How do we know? Princess Diana, Princess of Wales, was killed in France in that car crash. She was exactly the same age as I was. If I get it right from going by memory, when she was killed, she was 36 years of age. Little did she know that whenever she was 18 years of age, half her life was gone. Half her life was gone. She had only 18 more years upon the earth. Who would have thought that? We don't know what a day will bring forth. We have heard of individuals who have been killed this past while, and young people who have been taken out into eternity, homes that are decimated. But you know, we have to take into consideration that time is passing us by. The time is short. Think of the brevity of life. And that one day, child of God, you and I must stand before Christ at the judgment seat. We're not judged for our sins that happened at Calvary, but we're judged for our service, what we seek to do for the Lord. Oh, that we might realize today that the life's little day will soon be over. Maybe you're not saved today. Maybe you're unconverted in this meeting or listening on the internet and you're tuning in and you're not saved and you don't know Christ as your Savior. I want to tell you, the door of mercy is closing. Did you know that? The day of salvation is about to set. That is fact. I want to tell you, the season of mercy will conclude and the door of opportunity will soon be closed. And you would need to realize that you need to press into the kingdom of God. You need to be saved now, today. Because the door of salvation or the day of salvation will set in the western sky of eternity, and you must cross that chilly, murky river of death. And how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? Eternity, were heaven or hell, saved or lost, where do you stand with God? I want to tell you that, unsaved person, that time is short. And you don't know how long you've left to live. And you don't know when the Lord will return. And you need to be ready to meet the Lord. And you need to get the matter sorted today. But for those that are saved, may the Lord teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. The night cometh. Didn't the Lord say that? Murray McShane, if you read his life story, and I have, I may preach on him coming up to some anniversaries, use some of his hymns out of the hymn book. But Robert Murray McShane, the godly McShane of Dundee, we read his life story. We believe we can calculate when he was saved. He wasn't saved until he was 18 years of age. He wasn't saved as a child, even though he knew the Hebrew alphabet and the Greek alphabet, and he knew Hebrew and Greek and other things in his younger days, not even his teenage years. But he didn't know the Lord. If you read his life story and you read his writings, you have to conclude that Robert Murray McShane came to saving faith in Christ after the death of his brother at 18 years of age. He began his ministry, one of the most powerful ministries in history, in modern Christendom, was the life of Robert Murray McShane. He died whenever he was 29 years of age. 29 years of age. He packed into that short life years of preaching and praying, and he saw the fruit of his labor. Howbeit, he was over in Palestine when William Burns stood in his parish in Dundee, St. Peter's, and preached, and God sent revival. God removed McShane to Palestine for health reasons and brought in the Reverend Burns. He ushered in revival in Dundee. But go to Dundee today. It most likely is one of the most ungodly cities in the United Kingdom. I've been there recently. You can walk the very cobblestone streets where McShane said to his parishioners in the open air, "Do you hear it? Do you hear it? Do I hear what?" And they had clogs. He says, "The noise of the clogs on the cobblestone streets of Dundee." And he said, "Souls, souls marching on their way to a lost eternity. Do you hear it? I've stood on those cobblestone streets. I have heard the walk of soft leather shoes echoing off the cement walls on those cobblestone streets. And a preacher standing there said to me those words, 'Do you hear it?' And I said, exact same as the people, 'Do you hear what? Listen. Do you hear it? Do I hear what? The tramp, tramp, tramp of lost souls going into eternity.' I never forgot it. I came straight back to my church in Lisburn and I preached on the life of Robert Murray McShane, and the Lord saved a young girl in that meeting that very day. The Lord has reminded us today of aging years. One of our missionaries, he's not involved as much now in missionary work, but our brother Norman McCready, many of you probably would have known Norman, and he's still about, by the way, still serving the Lord, taking mission teams out into New Tribes Mission and serving the Lord, fulfilling the Great Commission. I remember the first time he ever went to New Tribes Mission. It was around about 1988 or 89. He came on a deputation to our church in Lurgan. I was sitting in the congregation that day. I was taken with his commitment. Although he said he couldn't preach, one of the most practical missionaries you'll ever meet for building, helping missionaries, building their accommodation, doing all these things, tremendous. I was so inspired and blessed and challenged to service. He came one time to our Lisburn church when I was minister there. And he stood up and he talked to people about giving their lives to the Lord in missionary work. Now, I meant to do it, forgot to bring it. I meant to bring a measuring tape with me because that's what he had. Because he was a joiner. And he pulled it out and he says, "You know what this is?" And he got someone to come up and he just took it and opened it up. And he took it to my height, 5'10". All right, you were never that. He took it to 5'10". The other person held it, which is 70 inches for those who are doing their maths already. 70 inches. And he says, now look at the measuring tape. And he held it, another young person holding it. 70 inches, 5'10". 70 inches. That's what the Bible says is the lifespan of each individual on earth. 70 inches. Now do you see it? That's your life. Now if God spurs you and favours you, but that's the average lifespan of man upon the earth. Follow it in Scripture, how God reduced the age. Why did he do that? I'll tell you why. Because of the sin of human beings. He had to reduce the lifespan because they were sinning away those other years. But then he did this thing. I've never forgotten it to this day. He pointed to 16 inches. And he says, hands up. How many young people are 16 years of age? The hands went up. And he said, there you are. That's all you've left. And the first thing everybody was doing was to find where 50, 60 was. And then he says, right, how many? And he pointed to 20. How many are 20 years of age? The hands went up. Now look at it, look at it. That's all you've left. That's all you've left. How many are 40? That's all you've left. He showed it on the measuring tape. I saw it as clear as crystal. How many of you are 50 years of age? And there it was. That's all you've left. Look, that's how much is gone. That's all you've left. And then he says, how many are 70? How many are 70? And the hands went up. Because sadly, our young people don't go to the prayer meeting. And you should be there, young person. And the hands went up. And he lengthened it out slightly. How many are over 70? A few hands went up. You're over your lifespan. And you could work it out. How many are 40? Maybe half your life is gone already. I never forgot that illustration. And I did get the measuring tape out, but I just forgot it rushing out this morning. But I want to tell you something. Think of the days that you may have left on this earth. And think of the little time that you have left to serve the Lord. Don't have any regrets. That's what the Lord was saying to Joshua. Joshua, don't you feel at this juncture of your life, you're aged, you're advanced now in age. You've been waging war from the earliest days in the wilderness. When you were first sent out to spy out the land, God punished those other men that were unbelieving, and that generation died in the wilderness. And you alone and Caleb are the only two that have actually entered into the promised land of that generation. Not even Moses, my servant, didn't enter in for disobeying God and smiting the rock twice. And God forbid that he entered into the land of promise, although he did see it with his eye from Mount Nebo. And then we believe that he did enter it on the Mount of Transfiguration. Having said that, Joshua was the only survivor and Caleb was the only survivor. Therefore, we are confident in stating this. They were the oldest people in Israel. There were no other people older than Joshua and Caleb. They were the last generation. They were the oldest individuals. All the rest, all those young men died in the wilderness for the 40 years of wandering. And when the last of the unbelieving Jews died, they entered into the promised land. And there were only two that were promised of the 12 that would go in. Joshua and Caleb. And the rest and their families perished. Only two. God's talking to the oldest man. He's older than Caleb. He's talking to the oldest person in Israel. Maybe God's talking to the oldest person in Cumber. And he's saying, keep at the work. Don't you give up. Press on. You may not be able to do what you would like to do, but do what you can. And don't have any regrets. Before I move on, I need to speak to our young people today. Young person, look at me. Listen to me today. I stand before Christ, the sole King and the only head of the church. And I appeal to you, young person, in Christ's name. I speak on his behalf today as his mouthpiece. And he has a word for you today. And I want you to hear it. Many of us are getting older. The Lord has called. Some are ready to higher service and glory. I want to tell you the next 10 years in this house will bring with it massive changes. It really will. And the future of this work, we know, is under God. But it has to have the lifeblood as well as the backbone. And it needs you. That's a fact. And God has blessed us with youth and with children. That's no small mercy from God in these days. But the aged and infirm cannot. Young person, listen to me, please. The aged and infirm cannot bear the burden of the work forever. They're getting tired. They've stood in the gap. And I can speak on their behalf. And I can speak as the pastor of this church. We are concerned. And so is the session. That young people are not stepping up to the plate. I want to tell you something. We need you to commit to the work of God. 10 years' time. If the prayer meeting and the Lord took away the aged and those advanced in years, he took them out of the prayer meeting, would there be a prayer meeting in this house? I want you to think of that. Why? And where did you get it from? That a prayer meeting, who told you that, is for older people? That is not true. It's a congregational prayer meeting. And so I say to you, children can come to the prayer meeting. And I say more than that. Children can pray in the prayer meeting. I want to tell you, young people can come to the prayer meeting. And young people can pray in the prayer meeting. In fact, I don't believe you'll learn to pray if you don't go to a prayer meeting. You will learn from aged saints, from mature believers, how to wrestle with God, how to present your requests before the Lord, how to spread the work of God and bring it to the feet of the Master, how to cry unto God for power and salvation, how to get answers to your prayers, how to bring heaven down to earth on your knees before God. The prayer meeting is going to be your responsibility, not ours. And where will it be in 10 years' time if you don't come? If you don't get involved, young person? What about the Sunday school? Where will it be in 10 years? Will we have one? And you say, well, I most believe that most likely we will. Can I tell you of many churches, our own especially, no Sunday school, no youth fellowship? Listen to it. No mustard seed or children's meeting. It's not there. Some evangelical church, the Brethren movement that are really big into children's work, some of them to me have lamented, no children's work anymore. And you can say it's a sign of the times. I want to tell you too as well, it's a lack of workers. People willing. People are getting older. They can no longer do the hours they require for such work. They feel the rigors and the vigor of such a work. I want to tell you something. What about the youth fellowship and the young adults? Where will it be if we don't commit ourselves to these things? Young person, I want you to commit as much as you possibly can. And I know you have study. I know you have work. I know you have other things. I understand that. But I can stand and preach today because I practiced what I'm preaching. And I missed out on overtime to get to the prayer meeting. That's a fact. when June and I had a young family and we needed money, and we needed it badly, but not at the expense of the prayer meeting. Now, I know you will counteract that. I know you'll argue against that, and I know you'll say, well, that's you, but it's not me, and you don't realize just the burden I'm under and the pressure I'm under. I fully grasp that, but at least you should make an appearance. What about the seniors' meeting and the lunch? Who's going to take that over in the next 10 years? Maybe the workers will probably say, I could go another 30. What are you talking about? Well, okay, then, if you do say that, we'll expect you for the next 30 years to commit to that. What about gospel campaigning? Who's going to do the outreach when some who did it before, their legs just aren't able to walk that distance? What about the preaching ministry? What about all the bits and pieces and the help we need in the church? Can I say something to you, young person? I want you to come alongside Joshua, the aging, advancing in years people in this house. Come alongside us. We'll take you under our wing. You follow the life of service of people in this house. You walk in their footsteps and their example. And listen, you follow the path of service that they have given to the Lord from their earliest days when they were converted. I want you to do this, but there's much land still to be possessed. And we need you to step up to the mark and to the plate and to stay in your place and to remain loyal to the place God has called you, wherever that is, and your field of service. And if it's here for the present, that's fine. Commit yourself. And if it's somewhere else, then I say to you, commit yourself. Give yourself wholly, no matter where it is, whether here or somewhere else. Commit yourself. Take it with you and commit yourself. For the next 10 years, we'll see massive changes in this pulpit and in these pews. We would like to be handing to the next generation the torch of truth that's burning bright. We would want to hand to them a field. Now, can I say something to you, young person? And I'm not singling you out. I believe God burdened me and you on my heart today. I want to tell you something. Many in this church over many years under God, and the glory's His, they have left you a good legacy. They haven't left you debt in this church. They haven't left you a building that's crumbling, that needs fixed, and they don't have the money to do it. They haven't left you without a church hall. They haven't left you with rooms for activities and youth work and children's work. They haven't left you a building whereby there's hundreds of thousands of pounds that you need to step up to the plate and pay off, along with your mortgage and other expenses. They haven't even put debt upon you. And I want you to think what you've inherited here and be thankful for it and commit yourself to it. And see it into the future if God spurs us all. You have one final thought. I'll use it as a conclusion. You have His assurance of help. Not only the age of Joshua, but the assurance of help. In other words, in verse 6, the Lord said this. He says, I will drive out them from among you. So Joshua, step up to the mark. Step up to the plate. Divide the land. But remarkably, tucked in between. How providential that is. The Lord puts the text in the right place in Scripture. It comes between the command, Joshua, divide the land. It comes between the remark, you're aged and stricken in years. There remains so much land to be possessed. And the Lord puts in this little word of assurance, I will drive out. Do you see how it's placed? Between the observation, you're getting old, and the command to divide the land and work for God, He puts in the right place this word. And Joshua, remember, don't forget, I will be with you. I'll drive them out. I'll bless you. That's what he was giving here, a word of encouragement. The Lord will never ask you to do anything, whether you're young or old, without a promise. You can look at the work of God today only in the light of the promises of God. And if you don't look at the work of God in the light of the promises of God, you'll never do it. That's a fact. You will never do the work of God, but in the light of these promises and assurances, press on and don't be weary in well-doing. In due season we shall reap if we faint not. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Father, we pray now you will speak beyond time into the future. Speak from this meeting for years to come. Let this be a changing point in the lives of individuals. And grant, O God, it'll be a starting point for some. It'll be, Lord, a stirring message for others to keep at the work till they can do it no longer. And for those, O God, who have yet to come forward and step up to the mark and plate, we ask, Lord, you'll hear prayer. Lord, you've commanded as we preached on Friday night, my son, give me thine heart. And may we give our heart fresh in the service of Christ. Part us now in thy fear and favour, and watch over us as we take our leave. Bring us back again with thy blessing upon us to the evening service. Remember the young adults in Ballygan. Encourage each one to go and be there, to be in their place. We humbly ask it, giving thanks in Jesus' precious name. Amen.